Dr. Jacqueline Carlson, Homestead Animal Health, is on line one. How are you? And always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be here. Good morning. Doing well.
We always talk about, kind of before we get into the topics, always want to get a snapshot. What you've been working on for the last month, because I know your duties are varied as a veterinarian.
Yes. So with February being Dental Health Month, so many teeth. Wonderful. All the teeth. It was great.
It's been teeth, teeth, and nothing but teeth for the whole month of February.
Yes. I mean, maybe throw in some diarrhea here and there, but that's usual.
I was going to say, so are we ready to move on from teeth? Are you like, I've had enough teeth, or is there never enough teeth?
Well, there never is enough teeth, but this time of year does sort of suggest that we need to also focus on other things, yes.
Speaking of which, today's topic, parasites, ticks, fleas, heartworms, parasites. It is that time of the season where the weather warms up. By the way, I was thinking of that when I got the email from Dashiell about what the topic was going to be. I looked down yesterday, and in my house, I found those Asian beetles. I'm like, really? Already? They popped up already? Here they are. And it's just amazing how them little insects, no matter what they are, it's amazing how fast they hatch, just out of nowhere. One warm day, boom, there they are.
Right, right. Yes, and when we had our fall spring here a couple weeks back, there was a couple flies in my house, and I thought, what?
I know.
So it's too early.
It's too early for that, unfortunately. But it's a good time to start thinking about all the little creatures that we have to protect our pets from, and there are quite a few.
Yes. I mean, right. And it's one of those things, you know, we look forward to the springtime and to feel that sun on our skin and spend more time outside and just relish in this beautiful weather. And then the bugs come, right? You know, like you said, that they're here. And certainly I'm surprised I haven't found one yet, but we get above 40 degrees and those ticks are going to wake up. And so, I mean, certainly they've had plenty of opportunities over these past few weeks to be active. And so, right, it's, like you said, it's time, unfortunately, and we gotta be thinking and make sure that we have our pets protected, because again, this is definitely one of those scenarios where the ounce of prevention is worth 10 pounds of cure, really. I mean, if we can prevent, it's great, because especially when we think about our ticks, yes, I mean, we definitely have the ick factor, you know, we find one in ourselves and then our skin's crawling the rest of the day. So, yes, like I say, they're gross and they take a blood meal, and certainly we'd rather our pets keep their own blood, right? But ticks bring their own additional concerns with them, with the different tick-borne diseases that they can carry. And those three, and I'm going to talk about these three because they're part of our heartworm test, and which is really a misnomer, and so it's really kind of a heartworm tick screen. But, you know, if you get your little reminder or we're, you know, you're in for your appointment and say, oh, hey, it looks like your dog's due for their heartworm test. We're actually testing for heartworm and then three different tick-borne diseases. And with those tick-borne diseases, we've got Lyme disease, which we're mostly familiar with. And certainly, right, people obviously can contract Lyme disease as well. And what's concerning about Lyme disease is if your dog is exposed to Lyme, they have a 43% increased risk of having chronic kidney disease later in life. So it really, it's a bugger. And some of the classic Lyme cases are the dog that's got a fever, they're really lethargic and dumpy, their joints are kind of swollen, they're stiff, they're kind of lame on all four legs, nothing is comfortable. Or, unfortunately, the dog that comes in kidney failure, you know, but hasn't been into any toxins or anything like that, and boom, they test positive for Lyme. And so and those cases are darn near impossible to turn around, unfortunately. So, like I say, the ticks themselves are icky, but they carry some worse things, really. And then there's anaplasmosis, and that disease affects neutrophils, so a type of white blood cell, and then the platelets. So platelets are important for clotting. So if this disease process, if this anaplasmosis is affecting platelets, then we could see bruising on their gums, maybe bruising on the pet's belly, potentially even a bloody nose, just because they can't clot appropriately. And then Ehrlichia is another one, and Lyme has always been the most prevalent, But certainly these other two, I think, I mean, I'm seeing additional cases pop positive on tests every year. And they also affect different types of blood cells. And so we can potentially see bone marrow dysfunction or, again, kidney disease. So, and it's not just the hunting dogs that I'm seeing these on. There are, I can think of one, I mean, he's like 4 pounds, just a little tiny floofy dog, lives in town, you know, with an elderly person. I mean, like I say, is not, you would think would be a high risk exposure, positive for, I forget which one, but one of, and it wasn't Lyme, it was Anaplasma or Ehrlichia, one of the tick-borne diseases, a little fluffy town dog. So again, like, ticks are everywhere, and so just thinking that, well, my dog doesn't go hunting, or we don't live on a farm, they're here. They're in town, and so we still want to protect our pets.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I have talked to people that have been amazed that they found ticks, like, in their backyard, just in their backyard, and we're not safe from any of those things. And those things, boy, you're exactly right when you said those things are horrible. And especially if you get a tick on you, and I think people would agree with this, you get a tick on you and then you get it off of you, you get the heebie-jeebies for like days. You think your like skin is crawling. You're like, is that a tick? Is that another tick? Yeah, it freaks you out for like days.
It does. It does, absolutely. Like you said, you're just hypersensitized, and then every little sensation, you're like, oh, it's another tick. And yes, yes, absolutely. The creepy crawlies is definitely also a concern.
So what about the medications that you could use to control ticks for your dogs? I know that there's a few of those out there that are specific for dogs.
Yes, yes. And we want to be careful when we are selecting products as far as like cat versus dog, because cats are very sensitive to permethrins and some other topicals. And so if it says dogs only, it really means, I mean, dogs only. Don't just think, well, I'm just going to get a big pack and treat, you know, all my animals. No, that you will cause some toxicity issues with your poor kitties. So, and there's a variety of things. And I think there are a few products that are labeled sort of for, you know, repellent, as far as, you know, like, say, ticks and mosquitoes, but most of them, the parasite has to have contact with your pet, and oftentimes, like, bite them, take, you know, start to take a blood meal. And so don't think that, oh, I can give my pet this pill, and it's going to create this magic bubble around them, and I'm never going to find ticks. No, unfortunately, there's not a product that's that effective. There certainly are some, and if you've got a vacation plan to northern Minnesota, or, I mean, you know that you are really going heavy into heavy tick-infested areas, let me know. And certainly there are, at times, I will even double up on products as far as an oral and a topical, or an oral and a collar, just because we want to be as, like I say, that prevention. We want to be as proactive as we can in those scenarios. And so, and what's great is a lot of our products are combination products. So you don't have to give one for fleas and one for ticks and one for internal parasites. There are several all-in-one products that can take care of everything. And again, depending on your pet's risk, you know, when you come in and I'm doing my exam and we're chatting, okay, well, do we have a lot of stray cats in the neighborhood or lots of bunnies in the yard, things like that. And so we can determine what would be most appropriate and safe for your pet, because certainly with any medication there are side effects. And for instance, if your dog has a history of seizures, we want to be careful about what class of preventatives then, you know, that I prescribe for your dog, because we don't want to heighten their risk of seizures.
You were going to finish there?
Well, just that there's a lot of options, I think orals are great. For one thing, if you put a topical on, you know, then there's that greasy spot, you can't pet them for a while, although I think topicals, of course, are fantastic for our kitty friends, because nobody likes having to orally medicate their cat. That is certainly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly has happened many times, my Revolution on my dog, and then he ran off and went swimming in the lake. Okay, well, that's going to affect how efficacious that topical can be. So certainly there's more, it can be a little fussier with some of the topicals. Like, they still some really great products, and I still use them, but I'm in the camp of I just love those orals. Most of them can eat them like a treat. There's chewables, they're flavored, and like I say, they cover us for so many things.
So there are other pests that we're going to have to deal with in the spring, like fleas in particular. Where do you stand on flea collars?
Ooh, okay. Well,
how about that for a question?
Huh? Yes. A little bit. My stance on your typical generic flea collars is they do not work.
Okay.
They give a false sense of security. Now, there is a Seresto collar, which has efficacy against fleas and ticks, and like, it does have some repellents. I mean, there are some good collar products, but when we think about, like, those white, chalky, stinky things, you know, that we can get at the farm store, no. The only thing I think they are good for is if you happen to, you know, find yourself with a flea problem or a flea infestation, cut them up and put them in your vacuum bag so that when you're vacuuming, the fleas are exposed at that point in time. But otherwise, no. No, they don't work, and they stink.
So there you go. You heard it right there from Dr. Jacqueline
yes.
Carlson. They don't work, and they stink.
Yes.
I'm going to cut that up and put that on a loop. They don't work, they stink.
And I try to be fairly diplomatic, but that's one thing. I think I just got to be blunt, and I just say they're not protective.
What about also parasites, intestinal parasites? You mentioned diarrhea earlier. Could that be a possibility of things that dogs, because they eat stuff that they're really not supposed to be eating, really?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. So many things that they find delicious that we just find revolting.
Right.
So, right. It's not just the creepy crawlies on the outside that we want to worry about, but the worms on the inside. And there's a variety of parasites. There's roundworms and hookworms and whipworms and tapeworms, and they have varying degrees of problems that they can cause. So certainly roundworms, yes, can cause diarrhea, can potentially infect humans as well. So again, the other thing that you can put on the loop, Jeff, is don't eat poop. That's the other quote for you.
that's going on the loop, you bet.
Right? Yeah. And most puppies and kittens have roundworms. Now, certainly adults have them as well, because otherwise, you know, where would puppies and kittens get them? But they're naive. You know, they just don't have the robust immune system. And then several of those types of roundworms can be passed either through, like, the mother's milk or through the placenta. And so, boom, I mean, they hit the ground and they can get infected. So that's where we're more rigorous sometimes in our deworming of our puppies and kittens. Then once we get to an adult stage, we can get on more kind of a routine basis. But, yes, there are worms. And one in particular, tapeworms, is really difficult to diagnose as far as on a fecal sample. Their eggs don't float, so we can't detect them like we do with our other parasites, and they're shed intermittently. So honestly, it's most often diagnosed when I lift the tail during my exam and I see, ooh, we have tapeworm segments stuck to their butt. And they look like little flattened grains of rice, and they are proglottids, or like I say, they're little segments of tapeworms, and that's how they are spread. And you will then find them potentially around the house because they will fall off. And thankfully, tapeworms typically don't really cause much for disease, but they're icky. And so this is one. And the other thing with tapeworms is they require lice or fleas for their life cycle. So, ding, ding, even if we find tapeworms, even if your pet doesn't like actively have fleas, they found a flea somewhere and ate that flea, and the flea was carrying the tapeworm eggs. So, once again, like I say, yes, tapeworms are gross. Thankfully, they don't usually cause a problem. But, oh, Fluffy or Spot found a flea somewhere. Whether that was the roadkill they were munching on, the rabbits that ran through the yard and the fleas dropped off into the lawn, that sort of thing. So, again, that's where prevention comes in, where, ooh, they've been exposed. Just like with our pets that maybe, you know, show positive to one of those tick-borne diseases on their heartworm test, ooh, you're not going to get Lyme disease from your dog or anaplasmosis or ehrlichia. Like, it's not going to transfer from your dog to you. But if your dog had a Lyme-infected tick bite it, potentially you were also exposed. So that would be something, you know, with your own physician, or if you have health concerns, you know, that you maybe could bring up if need be. But again, it's just one of those things where like, say, tapeworms, we want to think, ooh, we must have had some flea exposure. Oh, my dog is Lyme positive. Oh, I was, you know, I'm usually walking with my dog, or we're in the same areas. And so, again, just things that sort of then can lead us to another step or another thing that we want to be aware of and cognizant of.
So kind of getting into prevention, because it's the old, you know, prevention is worth a pound of cure, something like that. Go something like that.
Yep.
So are there medications that you could use? I mean, I know heartworm, and obviously I keep both my dogs on heartworm 12 months out of the year, just because I don't want to try to remember just in the summer. It's just better to keep them for a lot of reasons, but it's just better to keep them, I think, on heartworm 12 months out of the year. But does medications with the heartworm, do they kind of quell a lot of this? A lot of these diseases, a lot of these nasty critters?
Yes, yes. Thankfully, like I said, there are a lot of great products. And I agree with you that the 12 months all the year, you think, oh, you know, and heartworms are spread by mosquitoes, so I'm just going to throw that out there. You think, oh, well, we're not going to have mosquitoes in, you know, in December. Well, I mean, gosh darn it, it's amazing sometimes how you can find one in the shower, regardless of the time of year. And if you think that, oh, maybe my pet was bit by a mosquito in, you know, mid-November, I gave my last dose November 1st, now I'm going to give them the winter off. Well, then that heartworm is going to have the 3-4 months that you decided to take a break to develop into further, you know, life stages, and then it becomes harder to treat. And I agree with you as well. I'm in the same boat. Like, I do it year-round because I'm not going to remember to stop and start. Like, for my own sake as well, just for routine, monthly is very helpful. But, yes. There are several combo products. Certainly there are kind of flea tick only, but then there's lots of combination products that will get intestinal parasites and external parasites. And a lot of things with our kitty friends, dogs can get ear mites, but cats are certainly much more common. A lot of these products also get ear mites, and that, oh man, cats, they will scratch themselves raw, and there can just be goo coming out of their ears because of the ear mites and then the infection that sets up in there, potentially rupture their eardrum. So they can, and they're just, again, they're a nuisance. I mean, they're uncomfortable for the kitty. So, yes, products that can prevent, and again, a conversation to have, okay, well, what are your pet's risks? You know, how worried are we about tapeworms and things like that, and what would be appropriate and safe for your pet?
How can folks go about making an appointment, getting their pets healthy as we go into spring, sort of?
Yes, yeah, spring for a few days at least, right? Yes, follow us on Facebook. Give us a call, 432-9501. You can check out our Facebook page, homesteadanimalhealth.com. And during this month of March, it is $10 off the heartworm tick screen for your dog. So give us a call and make an appointment.
Appreciate it as always. Keep up the fantastic work, and we will talk again in April.
Thank you.